Amp Radio.
People just don't see how much work is really involved.
Move along, nothing to see here.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are
live! Get on it all!
Feel good. Lift the bang, bro.
Can't you know me?
Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of Amp Radio. Brought to you as ever by the Amp Radio Network. Follow us on Twitter. If you follow us all, you know what our Twitter handle is. At another MMA cast. We're here tonight to do the big one. Red, white, and fight night is upon us. Or as they like to call it, International Fight Week. I don't know why they went away from that name, Marco. I think they should have gone with Red, White, and Fight Night for the rest of time. I kid. Honestly, I do. UFC 226. Coming at us live and direct Saturday, July 7th, 2018. Also known as Miocic versus Cormier. You heard Joey Diaz on Joe Rogan trying to say Daniel Cormier's name. Hilarity at its best. We'll get into that in a bit, though, ladies and gentlemen, because I have to bring in the host. And just in case you're new to this show, we like to call this one hashtag SmackMyPicksUp or hashtag DownWithThePickness. That is our pick show. If you're not familiar with the cast of characters that we have on this Thursday show regularly, let me bring them in right now. Not on the beach, not enjoying her office space in North Carolina, live and direct on the ground in Las Vegas, Nevada. You know her, you love her. She's put one half of the Sam and Pam show. Pam from North Carolina.
Hi guys, what's going on? I'm here in Vegas.
Oh, travel
day. Actually, beautiful. Oh, it's beautiful here. It's a long. Been up since 3 o'clock this morning and running on about 2 hours of sleep. Sam's knocked out in the room right now. I was going to go down to Mandalay, but I was tired.
Yeah.
I hear you. Mandalay, and I'm tired, you know. So I went and hit up, you know, my place or my dispensary. And, you know, did my shopping that I needed to do so now.
That's good. That's good. I guess that's why Pam,
I may also go to bed tonight.
Knocked out.
Oh, she's knocked out. She had, I think, some Wiz Khalifa or something. But, I'm going to go try to bed tonight, maybe.
All right.
I've never done it, so I'll be like a big goofball.
Pam, we appreciate you being here with your travel day and everything. Your phone is cutting out just a little bit, so if you are moving around, please don't.
Yeah, I was.
All right. Okay. So tonight also we thought we were going to have Showtime from Tennessee, but unfortunately he's on the road again and not here tonight, but that's okay. We got the Bass Man himself from the mean streets of Danville, California. I hope the weather is nice there, Tony. Of course, the weather out there is always weather. It's always nice. The boss man himself, as I mentioned, DJ Tony.
Hey, DJ! Yes.
DJ!
The one and only Prado with the beautiful Pam. I do want to share this, you guys. As Marco will tell you, we got Michael Rappaport in I Am Rappaport podcast following us. That's a good thing, you guys. So shout out to Michael Rappaport, right? Shout out to G. Moody, whose last name always rhymes with duty. And, of course, shout out to the one and only Montana De La Rosa and, of course, Rachel Ostovich.
Indeed. Of course, DJ Tony, of course, alluding to Friday night show. Of course, just to roll the curtain back again a little bit for you, ladies and gentlemen, we are recording live on Thursday, July 5th, 2018. One day after, of course, Independence Day over there in the United States of America. So before we bring in the star of the show, I'd like to say happy birthday to America. And I also would like to say a happy belated birthday to Canada as well, because we did have Canada Day on Sunday. So to all of our Canadian fans, happy Canada Day. And to all of our American fans, happy Canada
Day. Happy American
Day. No, I mean, no, I'm just joking. Happy Independence Day. Yeah, exactly. All right, so I digress, because we have lots to get to, ladies and gentlemen, this evening. We have, basically, we're going to cover the whole main card, but let's bring in the star of the show, himself, living the bachelor life deep in the heart of Texas.
Deep in the heart of Texas.
Marco from Waco, brother.
Marco from Waco, brother. America. Happy birthday. America.
That's right. That's right. America.
242 years old, man. Think of a puppy.
How was your Independence Day, Marco? Did you set off lots of fireworks?
No. Relax. Eating hot dogs. Did nothing.
Hello, boy.
And enjoy.
How's that beard growing?
Shave it because it was itching.
All right.
America.
All right, guys. So
America.
Let's get into this quickly. America.
Fuck yeah.
America. All right, let's get into this quickly, guys. I need to do some housekeeping. We need to catch up with the news and notes, or the what's happening in the picks right at the moment. As if you listened to last week's show, ladies and gentlemen, you would know that we covered not only the Bellator show from last week, but we also did our picks for the Ultimate Fighter finale. Tough 27, I do believe, is what we're calling it. So let me give you a recap real quickly. So on the Bellator picks, Tony and Proteus are tied with 4 points. Pam and Marco also tied at 3 points. So it's a very tight race. Ladies and gentlemen, going into the Ultimate Fighter finale, let me give you our picks real quick, because we thought that thought today that Tavares may have been off the card, because they had a surprise fighter that was in the backup position to replace Tavares had he been injured, which is the rumor right now. But let's get to the picks real quickly. Pam, you picked Israel. By decision, Tony, you picked Israel by second round TKO. Marco also picked Israel by third round TKO, KO. And Proteus, going the other way with Tavares, second round KO. Let's go over those spotlight fights of the night. Of course, if you're new to the show, the spotlight fight of the night usually is the tiebreaker. Sometimes that comes around to also haunt us. Marco taking Roxanne Modafferi by decision. Pam taking Caceres, second round sub by Freaky Sub, is Pam's words. Yeah, Tony. They go that girl they call Roxanne. She's all stuck up. Why you say that? Cause you wouldn't give a guy like me no rap. But she was walking down the street, so I said, hello, I'm. I like that one. Tony taking De La Rosa in his spotlight fight of the night by second round submission. And Proteus is... I don't remember who I took. I didn't write it down. Do you guys remember who I took?
Oh, for your spotlight fight?
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it.
It doesn't matter.
That's right. It doesn't matter, because I'm going to lose anyways, right? But you know who's a champ right now, Marco? That's right. I'm going to flip that belt right over my my shoulder, flex my muscle, and get on with it. All
Do you guys know that song? Does anyone know that song from Roxanne?
Sounds like, I was going to say, it sounds like something from New Jack City.
I think it was on that, what was that, breakdance? How about that for Roxanne, no?
Yeah, that's
that's the original one I know, though, by the Police.
By the Popo.
That's right, that's right. All right, guys, so let's go ahead and get into this one. Let's break into it. We have a very, very large card to get to, guys. I'm sure we're going to have lots to talk about, of course. When we throw to it, I'll get to the breaking news of this card. Tony, let's throw to UFC 226. Of course, coming at us live and direct, as I mentioned at the top of the show. Saturday, July 7th, 2018. And we're calling this one a super fight, ladies and gentlemen. Miocic versus Cormier coming at us, as I mentioned, from Las Vegas, Nevada. And let's just mention, unfortunately, we had the co-main event fall out. Ah, man. How much heartbreak is attached to that one? A lot. I mean, your heart has to go out to Brian Ortega. I mean, this is not exactly what he would want to have happen. Apparently, we had news coming out of Las Vegas that there was a fight for Ortega there for an interim belt. But of course, as Tony had mentioned off air, I don't blame Brian Ortega for turning down that fight. I believe it's against Jeremy Stephens. All right, guys, let's get in this. To the heavyweight division we go. As I mentioned, this is supposed to be a super fight. Champion versus champion. We've got two belt on the poster. Thank you, DJ Tony. Heavyweight champion Stipe Miocic puts his heavyweight title on the line against your boy, Daniel DC Cormier. Now let's give their records. Stipe Miocic, of course, the winningest heavyweight fighter ever in the UFC. 18 wins, 2 losses, no contest. Again, Daniel Cormier, 20 wins, 1 loss, and 1 no contest. We call that 1 no contest. You get knocked the fuck out. Anyway, I digress. Let me give you the live odds. I'm getting these odds from the UFC site, UFC.ca. Miocic, the minus 235. Your boy Daniel Cormier, Tony, does not like that. Coming back at us at a plus 200. So it looks like maybe his numbers have moved up a bit. Pam, let's start with you and get your pick on this one, because this is the slobber knocker of the night. This is the main event. This is billed as a super fight. Pam, what you got?
Okay-dokey.
Champion versus
okay,
champion.
Okay, so I'm going to try my best because I'm limited on my notes and my, you know, computer usage and stuff like that. So
don't worry about it. Do your best.
We have Stipe, 18-2, DC, 20-1, DC, 19-7 decisions, Stipe with 14 KOs and 4 decisions, each of them, Stipe, 2 losses, Daniel Cormier, 1 loss. Both of them are wrestlers, both of them strikers. You're looking at Stipe with his Muay Thai and wrestling background, and DC, jiu-jitsu as well. His loss to Jones, oh my gosh, oh, his last 2 wins by KO in the second round. You know, you look at them together and you don't want to pick. You don't want to pick, but you know what? I love Stipe. I think he's amazing. I think he's been a great champion. I'm going with DC on this. My heart says DC. Even though Stipe is so much bigger than him, I mean, keep in mind how easily he picked up John Jones and just ragdolled him. I've got DC winning this, and I'm going to go with, you know what, I'm going to go with the KO. I'm going to go with third round KO for me. DC, please.
Wow. All right. I don't know if your memory is 100% on track there with Daniel Cormier picking up John Jones and ragdolling him, but that's all right. We'll give you a break here because you had a long travel.
You said, are you calling me stupid?
Not at all.
I picked him up and threw him down like a rag doll, like a crack doll. How about that? Picked him up and threw him down like a crack doll. That's what he did.
All right. So, Tony.
All right.
You know what I love about these high school girls? Anyway.
They get older and I stay the same.
No. I get older and they stay the same.
Oh my gosh.
Right,
I love that movie.
Right.
Okay.
It's a great movie. Okay, I just watched it the other day. I thought, you know what? Might as well enjoy it. Tony, let's throw to you on this one because the main event is, as I mentioned, a big thing. And speculation is that, as Pam said, that you know Daniel Cormier is going to be able to Dan Henderson, Stipe, and work his wrestling game. But as Pam mentioned, they're both wrestlers, Stipe Miocic is, as I mentioned at the top, you know, the longest reigning champ. I mean, he's got that record for breaking the or defying the MMA gods and becoming the winningest UFC champ in history. What you got here, brother?
So shout out to MMA Junkie who was having audio issues. It might be because Pam's having audio issues too. So shout out to MMA Junkie, who we love. Thank you. And shout out to Luke Thomas. I don't know what the heck happened to the MMA beat today, but that's missing. You know what? If you were to ask me yesterday, you guys, not joking, yesterday, I would have said Stipe all day, any day. Somehow I think Stipe's a little off today, guys. I don't know if it was the UFC Tonight interview. And of course, Max Holloway, we hope he's doing well. Unfortunately, he's having concussion issues. Maybe I had concussion issues. So that's certainly a frightening thing. But somehow I think DC's going to pull it off, Proteus. I've been watching some of the old Strikeforce fights with him and some of the bigger guys, Josh Barnett, etc. We've seen him lift up John Jones. We've seen him lift up Anthony Rumble Johnson. We've seen him lift up Alexander Gustafsson. Gustafsson. Shout out to Big Brown Gustafsson. But I think he's going to pull it off, you guys. I don't know how he's going to do it, but I think he's going to pull it off. I think he's going to catch Stipe, just like Pam said. My brain tells me to pick Miocic all day, all the time. Because DC has been caught, but I think it's DC's time to do something special while John Jones is out, you guys. So I'm choosing DC with a second round TKO, believe it or not.
Wow. Wow. All right, guys. Marco, you just get ready to finish this one off. I'm going to go next, and I'm going to call you both crazy. All right. I understand that DC has not lost a fight at heavyweight, but he has not fought at heavyweight in a very, very long time. And if you're paying any attention to the embedded videos that have been coming out, by the way, just shout out to Cain Velasquez, who looks freaking
you're a great manager,
jacked
dummy.
Right now. Thank you very much, Lord Dana. If you're paying attention to them, you know, Daniel Cormier saying that he's feeling that extra weight. He's not loving moving around with all that extra weight. And I think, guys, yes, Daniel Cormier is a very, very talented wrestler. Of course, we all know this. But I think that Stipe Miocic, the UFC has been throwing everybody they could at him. They throw Francis Ngannou at him, and you know he embarrassed Francis Ngannou. He lasted that first round against him and then embarrassed him, just really, really embarrassed him. Ngannou says this week that the next fight will go differently. Yeah, maybe, but you got embarrassed. I think that Daniel Cormier is going to be a definite, his wrestling game is definitely going to be on Stipe Miocic's mind. just like Francis Ngannou's knockout power was on his mind in his last fight. I think that Daniel Cormier, or Stipe Miocic's boxing game is going to be able to keep Daniel at bay. And of course, Stipe looks big today to me. He looks big coming into this. He looks like he's, you know, in shape. I don't know. And Daniel Cormier taking you know, the fall today at the press conference, you know, WWE styles, just, you know, makes me want to root for Stipe, makes me want to root for the greatest of all time to continue his greatness. And I know you guys all love Daniel Cormier and you love to be on his side, but let's be honest. Daniel Cormier is at the end of his career. If we are to believe Daniel Cormier, he is going to retire next March. So again, we are at seeing the end of Daniel Cormier's career. I do appreciate his heavyweight career. Again, I don't think that he's fought. I mean, Josh Barnett is a beast. You know, everybody he fought in that Strikeforce Grand Prix, they're all legitimate fighters. And I think that the new breed, Stipe Miocic at heavyweight, is going to be able to get it done. I think he's going to be able to get it done early, but I think that it's going to be a hard, grueling fight for both guys. And I'm going to take Miocic by decision.
Thank you, dummies.
Okay.
All right, Marco. I'm going to throw to you. I don't know about you, but I want to pick Miocic. I really do. I want to pick him with second round
KO.
That's
all you had to say.
Okay. So,
first
of all, for Tony, there was two MMA beat today because Luke Thomas is not in New York. He's in location in Las Vegas. They were doing the show directly from the MMA Junkie Radio Studios. So pay attention, Tony. Pay attention. KOB, Marisa, and Luke Thomas are in Las Vegas right now on location. I hate to admit it, but I agree with you, Proteus. I mean, for as good as Daniel Cormier is, he hasn't knocked out anybody clean at the heavyweight division since Strikeforce when he knocked out Bigfoot Silva. Everyone else, he decisionated. Historically speaking, Cormier is good at getting decisions. I mean, yeah, he choked out Anthony Johnson twice, but that is Anthony Johnson. He got no gas tank. Now, when it comes to Stipe, Stipe got good cardio. He's not a guy that is going to tire out like all the other freaking heavyweights that Cormier has ever faced. I mean, just as Junior Dos Santos, the first fight, you arguably can give it to Stipe. It was a split decision to get to Dos Santos, but you saw Dos Santos' face. Who really won the fight? And we seen him, what he did to Mark Hunt, you know, for 4.5 rounds, he beat the crap out of him. We saw what he did to Francis Ngannou for 5 rounds with a way heavier guy. So Stipe is not going to get tired. We have to admit that the better the striker is Stipe, a Golden Globe champion, compared to Cormier. I mean, Stipe's boxing is more technical. And Cormier, for as good as he is, he gets touched a lot. I mean, he ate the freaking atomic bomb that Anthony Johnson gave him. Not one, but twice in both fights. I mean, John Jones was able to attack him several times. Even freaking Bulten Ozdemir was able to attack Cormier. I don't like Cormier getting touched that much, man, especially with a guy like Stipe, because if we know something about Stipe Miocic, he's a finisher. If he hurts you, he will get you. And he won't just pounce on you. He will measure up and make sure he finishes you. I'm taking a Stipe here. You know, I'm saying that for all the good heavyweight fights that Cormier have had, he has never faced anyone of the caliber of the Stipe at the heavyweight division. I mean, he can be the 1B to the 1A of Cain Velasquez. You know, they're very similar styles. Both wrestlers, both cardio for days, good strikers. The only difference is that Stipe Miocic doesn't get injured like Cain Velasquez does. So If that is the case, I'll put my money on the natural heavyweight, not the guy that is coming out in weight, and still, I'm going to pick Stipe Miocic with a third round TKO. I think he's going to be able to eventually cash Cormier with some of those beautiful combinations that he puts up. He's going to be able to counter-wrestle Cormier. And Stipe is a smart guy. He's not going to get surprised by Cormier wrestling. And eventually he's going to catch him because Cormier always gets cut. He gets hit a lot. And he's going to put him away on the third. So give me Stevie by TK on the third.
All right. Let me. All right. You got it, Marco. It'd be very interesting to see if Stipe Miocic, Marco, is able to, you know, use the John Jones map for beating Daniel Cormier and wait for that tick that he has with, you know, lowering himself to his right hand side and then, you know, leaving himself open to the left leg kick to the head. I know Stipe doesn't normally use leg kick.
One caveat.
Yeah, go ahead.
One caveat. Stipe doesn't kick too much. He does a lot of leg kicks. But remember, he's really good at punching going backwards. Ask Fabricio Verdun what happened if you charge Stipe Miocic. And Cormier, by nature, is a pressure fighter. If you start charging Stipe like that, he might get counted with a right, and that'll be 9-9. So Stipe is not only good fighting forward, he's also really good at fighting going backwards. So Cormier has to be careful with that, too.
Yeah, I see the counter knees coming into this one as well, Marco. I'm going to be honest with you. Anyways, let's get moving on because we have still four more fights to cover. And, of course, we have to talk about the co-main event falling out. We covered it earlier on, but I didn't mention exactly what had happened. You know, Max Holloway falling out of the fight, cited that, you know, concussion symptoms were there. And, of course, DJ Tony, this is, as you mentioned, a very, very serious subject here. We can't. I'm very concerned about Max Holloway, and of course, the new co-main event. Let's move to it. Is of course in the heavyweight division as well. I don't know, guys. I think maybe this is maybe better for the card. I mean, two heavyweight fights on the co-main and the main event seems to sell well for the UFC. So maybe a good thing to have happened. Number one ranked Francis Ngannou, also known as the Predator, 11-2-0 again. Your boy.
Get to the chopper!
Your boy, Marco. From Texas, number five, Derek Lewis, as also known as the Black Beast. 19-5-0 with one no contest. Let me give you the odds real quickly, DJ Tony. Of course, these odds are coming from UFC.ca. Ngannou is the favorite at a minus 355, whereas Lewis coming back at us at a plus 290. Tony, what you got here?
All right, I'm going to bring back sanity after my DC pick. And I know the DC pick's crazy, you guys, but it's what I believe will happen. Now I'm going back to sanity. Might as well take chances, right? Right, Pam?
Be a wolf.
Oh, darn, we need a clean one when your audio is good on.
All right.
But now I'm going back to sanity here, guys.
Okay, now, so how?
I do know that the DC pick is an underdog pick. I realize that. And I'm a big Derek Lewis fan. Huge Derek Lewis fan, especially where Ronda Rousey find itself. I just can't do it, guys. Francis Ngannou's tall. He's longer. I think he's meaner. I think he's more powerful. And I think he's faster than Derek Lewis. So it hurts me to say this, but I'm picking Francis Ngannou. First round. I think it's going to be early, guys, within the first 3 minutes. First round TKO, Francis Ngannou.
All right. I mean, I think we could all see that happening, to be honest. Here's what I think, guys, and I'm going to go next. I think that Derek Lewis is not a stupid man. Okay, I think that he's shown in the past, in his past fights, that he's very calculated, and he's going to work around what his opponent is best at. I think if Derek Lewis is smart, he will follow the Stipe Miocic route and avoid the big bombs early. Maybe take one. I mean, we saw Stipe Miocic take more than one big bomb from Francis Ngannou. So, you know, maybe Derek Lewis can weather the storm as well and get to working some kind of wrestling game, which I think really is the glaring hole in Francis Ngannou's game. I mean, we haven't heard anything of any note that Francis has gone to another camp and he's, you know, tried to work on his wrestling game. As far as I know, Marco, you can correct me if you've got any more inside information on that when it's your turn. But I haven't heard anything besides, you know, Francis Ngannou is still at the Performance Institute, which is starting to put off a little bit of alarm bells in my head. But we'll get to that maybe at a different point. I think Derek Lewis, if he's smart, he's going to take this fight to the ground. He's going to use his ground and pound to he's going to use his nuke, his ground and pound to his advantage, because we know once he gets it, that fight to the ground, we saw in his last fight especially, I mean, he was fighting off submission attempts and then turned it around and won by ground and pound. It was really fantastic. I was thinking in my head when he was fighting Tybura that, you know, this is over. And then Derek Lewis comes out in the third and just totally turns the table. So, I mean, we know that Derek Lewis probably is maybe a late bloomer as well. You know, he comes alive in the later rounds, and is, as I mentioned, able to survive on the bottom. But I don't think he's going to have to do that. I think he's going to survive the barrage coming from Francis Ngannou in the first round, and I think the barrage is going to be a little less barragey. It's going to be a little bit more tame. From Francis Ngannou because of what happened in his previous fight against Stipe Miocic, you know, tired himself out with those big bombs and had to go another four rounds, you know, just kind of surviving on the bottom. I don't think he wants to do that. So I think Derek Lewis is going to have that opportunity to take Francis Ngannou down. He's going to do that. He's going to take him out probably in the second round by TKO. Lewis. All right, so Marco, I'm going to throw to you because I'm very interested in what you have to say about this one, and then Pam, we're going to finish this fight off with you. Marco, what you got to say here on the new co-main event?
So, first of all, Francis Ngannou's new headquarters in Vegas is Syndicate MMA. That is where she's
okay, he's at Syndicate?
Yeah, you still go to the Performance Institute, you know, because free food and, you know, excellent facilities. But he's setting camp with our syndicate on a more permanent basis. That said,
has he been there this whole time? Has he been there for this particular training camp, or is he just moving there?
He corroborated that on the press conference today that syndicate. He did most of his camp on syndicate for this fight.
Okay.
So, yeah,
thank you.
That's his new home, and he still go to the Performance Institute, but. Most of his training happens at Syndicate. Now, all that said, this fight has to finish early because we saw Francis Ngannou taking gas, but anybody good at gas with the pace that Steve put on him. And Derek Lewis, if he fights at his pace, he's able to carry, you know, later on the rounds, like with Marhan. As you remember, he was able to take one of Marhan's best shots and taken it down. He went 4.5 rounds with him. So, this fight is hard to pick. I'm going to be sentimental. I like Derek Lewis a lot. I have seen ragdoll people to the ground, enter Travis Brown. He just threw him to the ground, then got on top of him and knocked him out. And you're right. If this fight goes to the ground, the grand umpire of Derek Lewis is second to none. He will put you away. He won't take you. He will knock you straight out. So, if this fight is on the feet, is Derek Lewis has to lose. But I think he will try to pin Ngannou to the cage, you know, try to fight at his own pace and eventually get one of those three takedowns he gets. He doesn't really have a technical takedown. He just, like, hulk you out into the ground, gets on top of you, and puts you into oblivion. Because I like Derek Lewis and because I want to see him do well, plus he got one of the best, post-finish celebrations on the freaking game, where getting down on the ground and howling at his opponent. I'm going to pick the Black Beast to win by second round KO TKO via Ghana Pound. There you go.
That's exactly what I did to your mother, buddy.
So Marco and I on the same page here, maybe thinking that Francis Ngannou is too much too fast. Pam, what are you thinking here? Because this is the new co-main event. Of course, you know, we're just kind of, I feel like we're kind of brushing it off that this is new co-main event. But we did have a title fight on the line here. I mean, that card would have been fantastic. But this is a very sufficient co-main event in my eyes. Don't you agree, Pam?
Felder and Perry should have been the co-main event. But
whoa.
That would have been fun, super duper fun. Okay, so here's my pick. You know, the thing about this fight is Derek Lewis has horrible cardio. But you know who has worse cardio? Francis Ngannou. So I'm questioning his cardio. And with this last fight with Stipe, I think he was kind of found out that he was kind of like a one-trick pony, you know, 7 KO wins. And, you know, first of those, 7 of those were first-round finishes besides the loss to Miocic in January. But I think Derek Lewis been improving heaps and mounds in his game. I mean, his striking is better. His wrestling is better. This guy has 17 KOs. He was on a 6-row win streak before his loss to Hunt in 2017. So, you know, he kind of toyed with the idea of retiring and decided, no, I want to come back. But when he came back a lot, I think, better. His fight IQ was a lot better. And I'm taking Derek Lewis on this one. I think Ngannou, like I said, he's still that kind of one-trick pony. We saw him get exposed with wrestling. And what does Derek do? He's a wrestler. I'm going to go. Ngannou has never been KO'd. I think he's due for a KO. Let's say second round for me, I believe.
Wow. Pam, the only one
chit-chat who picked a-hole
that is willing to go with a straight-out knockout. I mean, that could happen. I mean, if these guys start trading and somebody gets caught, they get caught.
Anything could happen.
Okay, so listen, guys. The one thing that concerns – anything could happen. That's right. Correct, Amundu. One thing that concerns me is that on the embedded video – or on the embedded series, Lewis was kind of getting his back worked on. And Marco mentioned the fight against Hunt. And, of course, that was the main problem that Derek Lewis cited, was that he had a back problem. And he lasted, as you mentioned, Marco, 4 rounds of Mark Hunt taking those bombs with a bad back. That concerns me. I just wanted to put that as a side note on this fight, because if that back issue is still there, I Francis Ngannou might be able to take advantage of that and knock a fool out. Okay, guys.
And he might pity the fool.
Let's go. I do pity the fool. I pity the fool. I was watching something the other day and somebody mentioned the A-team. I can't remember what it was. All right, guys, let's move along, though, to the new co main event, and it speaks to the popularity of both fighters that it was moved up to this position. To the welterweight division we go. That's what I said. That's right. You heard me right, ladies and gentlemen. To the welterweight division we go. Paul Felder, who is being ranked on the UFC site as number 14. I hope that's... is that his ranking in the lightweight division that they just carried over? Because I mean, I'd be okay with him being ranked 14 in the welterweight division myself, but I digress. Paul Felder, hashtag the Irish Dragon, 15-3-0 against newly formed Jackson MMA fighter Mike platinum. I have tattoos on my face. Perry, 11-3-0. Ladies and gentlemen,
God's,
let me give you the
God's
odds.
Gift.
Thank you very much, Pam. Felder coming out as, wow, is the favorite, is the minus 155. If you looked at him in the weigh-in video from the press conference, he looks a lot bigger, I'm going to be honest. Versus Perry coming back at us at a plus 135. Marco, I'm going to throw to you first on this one. What you got, brother?
I like this fight. I like this fight.
Good fight.
Damn, I like this fight. Yeah. I mean, it sucks that freaking Jansi fell off, you know. But by default, we got a better fight. After the
I think I like it better.
With, after the scramble with James B going with Gagey, Paul Felder taking this fight, basically a week's notice because he was supposed to fight next week anyway. So he was already in camp, and he doesn't have to cut weight. All that is good and well. One thing about Paul Felder, even though he's the more technical striker, he is very willing to get into brawls, man. And Mike Perry, you don't want to get in a brawl with that guy because he will knock a fool out.
Yeah.
I'm rooting for Mike Perry, man. The guy, once you get to, like, listen to him, he's not really a bad guy, dude. And, you know, he has gone through a lot. He changed camps, you know. He's sick and tired of getting into this his own words, he doesn't want to be a punching bag anymore. He doesn't want to get hit anymore. So that's why he moved to Jackson's, to get into a smarter camp, you know. People that are going to give him more direction. And I like the move, you know. The guy got all the talent in the world. He's a born fighter. Felder is a more refined fighter. He's a more technical guy. And he used the blueprint that, you know, Alan Joban and Santiago Ponzinibbio and Max Griffin used. He will beat Perry. But I truly believe that the move to Jackson is gonna be to Perry's benefit because we know that Perry can grapple. He's a really, really good grappler. And I think he's going to be the stronger of the two guys. And if he can make this fight ugly, I think it's Perry's fight to lose, to tell you the truth. I think he got the more torque and power of his punches. He's the more aggressive guy. He's going to pressure the hell out of freaking Felder, because he doesn't know going backwards. He knows going forward. And I see that's going to be the clue to this. I'm putting my money on Perry just because I like the move to Jackson Wynn, even though he said he's going to move to Vegas eventually and stay in Vegas, but that is something I see for another camp or another day. I'm going to pick up Perry. I think there's going to be a bum burner, but I think he's going to be able to find Felder's chin eventually. And instead, I KO the guy. So give me Mike Perry by KO later on the second round.
Okay.
I got the belt.
I love it. I love Tony. I love Tony on the board. It's the best. Okay. Pam, let's throw to you.
Mm-hmm.
What you got here? We're running out of time. We got to go quickly.
Hot ginger alert. Ding, 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 ding. You pop ginger. You know what? Right there. Anyway, Paul Felder, Mike Perry, like I said, this should have been the co-main event.
Can't
but,
do it.
They have Mike Perry. And, you know, Mike Perry, for all the shit that, you know, gets talked about him, he is fun to watch. He's fun to watch. He's fun to listen to. He's a big goofball. I mean, he's funny. He's a funny dude. Keep in mind, though, as Marco pointed out, this dude is not good with technical strikers. And what is Paul Felder? He's a very technical striker. So the only thing that I question about Mike Perry is his fight IQ, because he wants to be, well, he is a brawler. And so he tends to want to just go out there and throw these haymakers and get winded. Paul Felder is patient. This guy's a striker. He's a second-degree black belt in Taekwondo, blue belt in Jiu-Jitsu. His last three wins have been by TKO. So, man, Paul Felder all day, TKO. I'm going to go, oh, my God, not one round, not two. This is three rounds, right? Let me take him third, KO, Paul Felder.
Oh, KO. I thought you said all day KO. Or TKO. Okay, third round. So Pam going with Felder, third round TK. Okay. Tony, I'm going to get you to finish this one off. Okay, so I'm going to go next. I think Marco brings up a good point that, as I have mentioned on this particular program in the past, I think that Mike Perry could be the future of the welterweight division. I think that his creativity in the striking game is there. Of course, he's got that power. And of course, as I mentioned, you know, the display from his corner, of course, having his ex-girlfriend in the corner on this previous last fight was atrocious. It was embarrassing. And I'm glad he's moved on to something more professional, because I do believe that he's the kind of talent that you need to have being instructed by the best of the best. And of course, as we know, he's in the same camp as John Jones, and these guys, you know, maybe like to go out and have some fun, and maybe they both like to fight and be creative. So I think that's going to be very, very good for Mike Perry. Having said that, I don't know how much, you know, his limited time at Jackson's is going to, you know, grow into a good fighting game, whether or not he's smarter. You know, Marco said that both these guys like to get into a scrap. But as Pam mentioned, Paul Felder, you know, kind of more of a technical striker and probably will be the bigger guy on the fight day. So it's a very tough fight to call. And as I mentioned, I think maybe as much as I wanted to see Medeiros get the chance, I think this is probably a better fight. I'd like to see Paul Felder maybe just continue to fight at 170 moving forward if he looks great here. Because again, he's had nothing but knockouts. He's very, very precise, a very technical striker. As much as I want to take Perry here, I think that I have to go with Felder. I think that he's going to come up, he's going to move up, he's going to take this one on short notice. And not that I'm putting it again, I'm not putting Perry down at all here. I think that just the transition from camp to camp and learning all the new things that he is learning is just going to be too much for him against Felder, who, as Pam had mentioned, is the more technical striker. I'm going to take Felder. I'm going to take him by decision.
And he's a hot ginger.
I think it's going to be a good fight. I think it's going to be a good fight. I think it's much more exciting. You know, as much as Medeiros would have been a great fight, and it's unfortunate that he fell out, but I think this is a better fight. I'm going to be honest with you.
Yeah, I'm not hurt. Yeah, I'm not, my feelings aren't hurt.
Okay, Tony, what you got here? Finish this one off. What do you got on this fight? You got Felder, you got Perry. We got to move along. Got 10 minutes left.
You know what? If it was an IQ test, I would definitely pick Felder. Unfortunately, I think it's going to be a power test. So I'm choosing. And listen, Platinum Perry's girlfriend is probably a better coach than Edmund Tarverdian. So let's be honest there. But I'm choosing Paul. I'm choosing Platinum Mike Perry via KO in the mid-second round.
All right. So Tony taking face tattoo by second round KO. Got it. All right, guys, we need to swiftly move along. We've got two more fights to conquer here, and I think that we need to talk about these two fights because they're both very good. All right, guys, to the lightweight division we go. Number 9, Michael Church, the Maverick, as he likes to be called, 14-3-0 against number 12. Wow, how the mighty have fallen. Anthony, hashtag Showtime, pretty boy, Pettis, 27-0. DJ Tony, I think I'm going to throw to Pam to start this one off because, you know, she likes the pretty boys. And, of course, Michael Church is here. Pam, what you got here?
Oh, my gosh. Okay, I think this is going to be a fun fight. It does. Michael Church coming off that loss to Kevin Lee, the you know, very questionable loss to Kevin Lee. What did I say? Michael Church. I said, Chiesa. But going up against
Anthony Pettis. We like to call him Michael Church on the show, though, right?
Michael Iglesias. How about that? Mm. We'll meet in the middle. But so, you know, Anthony Pettis is coming off of a win over Jim Miller. This dude has losses to Poirier, Holloway, Barboza, Alvarez, RDA, which, again, those are not bad people to have your ass whooped by. But you're going up against Michael Chiesa, who is a submission great stand-up. His submissions are bar none, wrestling also. Going up against Anthony Pettis, who he's a black belt in, what is he, I didn't even write it down, but I know kickboxing, taekwondo, all kinds of shit like that. But I think Michael Chiesa has got a little bit of a chip on his shoulder because he didn't get to fight last time, and he wanted to fix that. So I'm going with Chiesa with the second round submission.
My neck in my back.
All right. So Pam going with Michael Church.
Iglesias now.
Yeah, Iglesias, sorry. Michael Church Iglesias.
Miguel.
My submission. Miguel.
Yeah, Miguel.
Perfect. Yep. By God, second round submission.
Poor guy, when we're done with him.
I know, right? Second round submission, right, Pam?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Yeah, I think, you guys, I'm going to go next. I think, you know, Anthony Pettis was... thank you very much. I think I will. You know, Anthony Pettis coming off of a loss against Dustin Poirier in his last fight, which, of course, was a third-round KO, TKO. And then, of course, Pettis fighting Jim Miller before that. You know, coming off of his stint at 145, fighting Max Holloway and losing that one. Guys, I just don't have much faith in Anthony Pettis right now. I think that sometimes fighters, they have other things going on. And, you know, getting up and preparing for a fight when you're lying on those satin sheets, it doesn't sound so appealing, you know. And not saying that Anthony Pettis isn't a great talent, because he is. You know, previously lightweight champion of the world, you know, first MMA fighter to be on a Wheaties box. I mean, he definitely had his time. I think that Michael Chiesa or Michael Church is, you know, one of the next generation of fighters. I think that he's more well-rounded. I think the book is out, or the you know, everybody knows how to beat Anthony Pettis nowadays. They know basically what Anthony Pettis is going to do. He has not shown us that he's going to throw another Showtime kick off the fence since the WEC days. He's not happened, you know, nothing like that has ever happened again. And Michael Chiesa, as you mentioned, Pam, is a little bit pissed off, you know, that whole Conor McGregor incident from last year, which, of course, Conor McGregor is getting into court sometime this month again, later in this month, near the end. And, you know, I would be pissed off, too, if I was Michael Chiesa. And I think he's got a chip on his shoulder. And I think, as I mentioned, he's the well-rounded fighter. I think he's going to take this one. I think it's going to be a good fight, though. I think, you know, Michael Chiesa has not had a fight in a long period of time, and Anthony Pettis is going to give him a fight. And perhaps Anthony Pettis is going to throw some shots to the body and hurt Michael Chiesa and give him a good fight. I think this one, of course, I think is going to go to decision as well. I think two really, really high-end fighters. Michael Chiesa, however, is going to get the nod. I'm going to take Michael Church by a decision in this one as well.
You play to win the game. Hello?
That's right. We do play to win the game. Tony, what you got going on here? You got Anthony Pettis, you got Michael Church.
You know what? I'm playing to win the game, too. All conventional wisdom tells you that Michael Church, Chiesa, is Church in Italian, as we've said that previously. Hashtag review old files. But I will say this. I think Anthony Pettis has one more fight in him, guys. And you know who he reminds me of? When Michael Chiesa went up against Kevin Lee, a faster, perhaps a little bit smaller guy. I think Anthony Pettis' ground game hasn't been awake in quite some time. I think he's going to do it this time, surprisingly. I think Pettis is going to win the underdog at a plus 140. Okay. Pettis with a submission in the third round, early third.
Okay, so did I not give the odds on this one? I thought I did.
No, I don't know. I was reading them off myself. Sorry, guys.
Okay, Kias at a minus 158 and Pettis at a plus 138 if I did not read them out earlier. My apologies. Marco, let's throw to you to finish this one off and then to finish off the last fight of the night as well. Do you really believe that Anthony Pettis can have a second coming here, or do you think that Michael Church is going to take this one down?
Pretty, Tony, man. I mean, we already made the pick for this fight back when it was supposed to happen at UFC 223. And
yep.
I'm not going to change my pick at all. You know?
Okay.
This fight was supposed to happen back then. You know, it got derailed because of the Conor McGregor incident. But it's going to happen now. And my pick is still Michael Chiesa. Pretty, Tony has been too inconsistent. I mean, he wins one, lose one. Good. He's coming from a loss to Dustin Poirier, you know, mind you. And Chiesa is a younger, hungrier fighter, you know. Like you said, the blueprint to beat Anthony Pettis is tailor-made for Chiesa. He's a really good grappler. Anthony Pettis is too willing to stay on his back and not getting up. You know, when his game should be like, as soon as his buck hits the ground, get up and start striking again. I'm going to pick Michael Chiesa, and I'm going to pick him with a second-round submission via rear naked choke, just because.
Okay. Okay, and I think that Tony brings up a good point, though. I think that, you know, the last fight that we saw Michael Chiesa in was Kevin Lee, and Kevin Lee was able to submit him. And, you know, Anthony Pettis has that strong submission game. So, I mean, good point there on you, Tony. I mean, I'll give you that one.
That was a questionable.
Getting a little bit of feedback on somebody's phone here. Sorry, I apologize. Okay, guys,
yeah,
last fight of the night. Let's.
What did you say, Phil?
Marco said, what the hell?
Oh.
Anyways, guys, let's go to the last fight of the night. Sorry, I'm spacing out here. You got the music ready, Tony?
Which is the last? Cause is it the Gogumsaki? Just to make sure.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Okay.
It is.
Okay. All right. I just want to make sure. Okay.
No, right, just because we're having a bit of delay with the music. There it is. All right, to the middleweight division we go, ladies and gentlemen. Making his second UFC fight, I believe, Gokhan Saki, the Rebel, fighting out of the homeland of Turkey. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen. Of course, we know that Gokhan Saki coming out of from kickboxing, of course, one dangerous fighter.
Mofo.
Okay. Gokhan Saki, one win, one loss in the MMA professionally against, I mean, let's not kid ourselves, a pretty big killer, Khalil Roundtree. Seven wins, three losses. Let me give you the odds before I move on. Gokhan Saki at a minus 132 versus Roundtree at a plus 122. I'm going to go first here because I have not gone first yet tonight. I think I'm going to take Roundtree, and I'm going to explain myself thusly. Yes, Gokhan Saki is a very, very dangerous striker, but Khalil Roundtree is no joke. And what he's going to do is just get to those legs and take Gokhan Saki out of his game. I mean, it seems like the best thing for Khalil to do is just to wrestle him and ground and pound him. I mean, I think that this is a big test for Gokhan Saki. If I was the UFC and I wanted to build Gokhan Saki, I don't think Khalil Roundtree is the guy that I would have put him against. I'm going to take Roundtree, and I'm going to take him by second round TKO. Okay. Now, Tony, what you got? Last fight of the night.
You know what? I love Khalil Roundtree. I love his story. I love the fact that he lost a lot of weight, got into fighting, like the fact that his brother's also in this. But there's no way he's going to outstrike Gokhan Saki. Gokhan Saki's record may be 1-1, but he's better than that. He actually puts on a major show. I'm going Gokhan Saki, first round, TKO.
Okay. All right. I mean, that's a very good pick because we don't know. We don't know what he can show. And he is an excellent striker. Pam. Tony puts out an excellent argument here against the wrestling game of Khalil Roundtree. What you got? Is Pam there still?
No, I put her on mute. It's my fault. My fault. Sorry, guys.
Okay, no problem. No problem. No problem. Pam, what you got?
Yeah, okay. So this is going to be an interesting fight. And, you know, this whole card is good. I mean, every single fight on this card is fun. But short and sweet, Gokhan Saki, this is a fucking beast, man. A beast, like capital B-A-S-T, beast. First round, TKO.
Okay, so Pam has got Saki as well. First round, TKO, as well as Tony. Marco?
I'm going to make a short and sweet, man. Khalil Roundtree is way too willing to be a stand-up fighter. You know, he's not known for his wrestling. Most of his fights are a slugfest. If he's willing to freaking stand up with Gokhan Saki, he's going to get knocked the fuck out. So give me Gokhan Saki.
Yeah, absolutely.
TKO on the first round. Knock out the first round, Gokhan Saki.
All right. First round KO. All right, guys. I don't disagree with that possibility. All right, guys. Let me do this real quickly because just a couple of minutes left. As you guys mentioned, this card is insane. Okay, even the prelims are great. Even the early prelims are great. Maybe let's throw to one quick fight that you guys all think that it's not. I don't want to do spotlight because I don't want this to be, you know, a spotlight fight of the night, but just the one fight that you're looking forward to. It doesn't really count. Just go quickly, Pam.
Uriah Hall and Paulo Costa.
Marco.
As we saw, as was fun.
Tony.
I gotta go. Lando Venata versus Ricard Close. That's a really good fight, guys.
Oh, groovy Lando, yeah.
Really? You're not going to pick the other women's fight on this card?
No.
All right, Emily Whitmire versus Jamie Moyle.
And I'll take the Lando Venata fight.
You sucker.
Sucker!
It's a great fight card, guys. You know, this is one of those cards where it's worth shelling out the money, I think, because the UFC has really stacked the deck. Marco, let's get the PFL minute real quickly.
Watch in a few minutes the PFL minute. The PFL fight, Jake Shield is going to be on the main event. Randy Cooper, you know, he is the third. He famously fought his father, you know, like 10 years ago. So now his father fighting the son. We also got Eddie Truck Gordon on this card. And Rick Story, you know, the PFL is doing some things right, man. And entertained with their format. We get fights every 2 weeks. And you know, watch some good fights. Randy Couture is on the commentary desk with Buzz Rutten. And, you know, enjoy for what it's worth. Watch the PFL tonight.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's throw to the end of the show. I thank you very much for listening. Of course, you've got all the picks. I've got all the picks written down. Tony, you can cue the music whenever you are ready and the delay is ready. And we're going to throw to Pam. You can follow her at Pamdora Box with 2 X's. And please, ladies and gentlemen, follow her because it is the Pam and Sam show all weekend long.
Pam and Sam show all freaking weekend. Hell yeah.
And I saw you and Sam in your summer dresses in Vegas. I was like, ooh, all right.
I just spent $750 at the dispensary. So we're having a good time. Y'all, you know, we're going to be doing videos all week, so check out Pam and Sam show.
Absolutely. And follow the hashtag, Pam. You got to do that every time. Hashtag Pam and Sam show. So we know.
Sam show. Yeah, and we're going to swing by and visit the guys at the Junkie Studio tomorrow. So I'll say hi.
All right. You gonna do another dance for them or what?
No, not this time. It's too hot to be wearing those costumes.
I got it. I agree. You should just sit down and
we're gonna dance. Yeah, we're gonna dance naked.
Oh, hello. I think we bust the internet on that one. I think we bust it. All right, Pam, you guys have yourself a great time. And, of course, we'll catch up
with you
again next week. Thank you very much for calling in. I know it's been a long day for you, and enjoy yourselves while you're in Vegas.
Thanks.
DJ Tony. I hope so. Good night. DJ Tony, you got any Twitter follows? You got anything that you're excited about? The floor is yours.
We are, of course, going to follow Rachel Ostovich as the great McMally MMA said public service announcement. Rachel Ostovich fights at the top 27 finale this weekend. That is all.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm again going to point out my boys over there at Coheed and Cambria. Follow them at Coheed. They're going on a UK tour. They're going on a cross Canada tour. And of course, they're releasing a new album. Go ahead and check out their two new songs on the YouTube. You can check that out, of course, anytime you want. Marco, get us on out of here. What you got?
So, PFL is starting on as we speak, so go and tune in. UFC Hall of Fame ceremony tonight on UFC Fight Pass, if you're interested. Congratulations, Ronda Rousey and Matt Serra. And follow Tony at IMDA Tony. Follow Pana Pandora Box. Follow Producer at Produce. Follow me at Maldo Marco. Follow the show at Another MMA Cast. Read and review as I can get. We need the reviews. We need the clicks. We need you to subscribe. With that, I'll catch you guys next week and enjoy the long weekend of fights. Peace out.
Yay.
And just like that, Tammy,
we are out. Boom.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
Shout out Team Alpha Male.